Live from the College of Communication, Arts, and Sciences at Michigan State University, it is now time to go beyond the X's and the O's with WKAR's Current Sports.
You want to go after an athlete, one of my athletes, come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Well, I'm the best corner in the game. When you try me with a star receiver like Crabtree, that's the result you're going to get.
Yes, did I express to them I was mad? I was furious. Just furious.
I know my wife will at least shut fake one time.
We're talking about practice, not a game.
And I told our players, you need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here. Looking in the mirror. Do I look good? I got my extra bands on. I got my other shoes on. Be a dog. We don't need no meows. We don't need no cat.
Here's your host, L. Martin.
What is up, beautiful people? That's right. It's about that time. Your favorite hour of the day is now underway. You are locked into WKAR's Current Sports. That's right. I am your host, Al Martin, coming to you on this Tuesday, April 30th, 2019, even though it feels like mid-February right now outside, temperatures in the 40s. We are expected to hit the 50s at some point today, but showers are expected at some point in the evening. Cold and rainy yesterday, and I really thought, looking at Sunday was beautiful, right? And then we have back-to-back days to begin our week, like yesterday and this Tuesday. That's Michigan for you. You just never know. You just never know. So we hope to bring some sunshine to your gloomy Tuesday here in mid-Michigan by hitting you with one fun hour of WKAR's Current Sports, where we will always, each and every day, here at 1 p.m. here on Current Sports, we try to enlighten and entertain. So on today's Current Sports, as promised, I will be leading the show with the Tyreek Hill story. Tyreek Hill, the dynamic star of the NFL's Kansas City Chiefs, involved in some controversy concerning his three-year-old son. Don't worry, if you have not heard about this story, I will give you the details and you will get my thoughts on what the NFL should do in handling this situation, because the NFL in a position yet again to deliver a strong message for athletes who decide to mess up away from the football field. Now, they're human, but I'll explain why this Tyreek Hill story is a bit different, okay? Then after that, I'll touch on the NBA playoffs. Boy, have the playoffs been exciting, right? I can't wait for tonight's Houston Rockets and Golden State Warriors game. But I want to have a bigger conversation concerning what happened in Game 1 on Sunday between the Rockets and the Warriors and officiating. When is it okay to blame the officials for an outcome of a particular sporting event? Because those who tuned in on Monday know how I feel about what happened on Sunday between the Rockets and Warriors. That was a crime. We'll dive into that a bit. And then on the back end of the show, we'll talk some Michigan State sports. And you will get our MSU football 2019 outlook. All right? So we'll get to all of that while, of course, inviting you all, beautiful people, to be a part of the hour. Pick up the phone and dial 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. You can also weigh in at facebook.com/WKAR News. Check out the New Look live stream there and comment below that video. A few of you already getting to that. And you can tweet us. Tweet me directly at Al Martin, WKAR, or tweet the show at WKAR News. You know what's next. Here are your Current Sports quick hit headliners.
Okay.
All right, how about this story to lead off? Casey Mize, the number one overall draft pick last June and the consensus top prospect in the Detroit Tigers system, he made his Lake Erie debut in grand style, tossing the complete game no-hitter. Yeah, no-hitter for Casey Mize.
You like that? Oh, you like that?
We love that. He allowed just two base runners, a hit batter in the first, and a walk in the seventh. This is what Casey told reporters afterwards during his post-game interview on the Seawolves Twitter account. Quote, "It was definitely one of those days. I don't know. I just felt like on autopilot. Just a good day. I threw one last year in college, and I wish I would have enjoyed it more. So I think I kind of learned from that. So I'm definitely going to let this one soak in." Crazy stuff. Yeah, he did it back in college as well, folks. He is the Tigers' top-ranked prospect, according to the rankings on by ESPN's Keith Law, who ranks Mize the fourth best pitcher in all of baseball and the number 15 player at any position. Erie ended up winning that game at Altoona 1-0. And speaking of the Detroit Tigers, the Tigers will travel to the city of brotherly love to take on the Philadelphia Phillies, the revamped Phillies, our first in the NL East, and have won three straight. For the Tigers, this is the final stop of the Boston-Chicago-Philly road trip. The Tigers are 2-4 so far and struck out 20 times in Sunday's 4-1 loss. Game time, 7.05 p.m. That one, of course, can be seen on Fox Sports Detroit. The Detroit Lions have exercised the fifth-year option on offensive tackle Taylor Decker's rookie contract. A 16-game starter at left tackle as a rook, Decker missed 8 games his second season after suffering an off-season shoulder injury requiring surgery. Now, with the injury in the rear view, he was back to being a full-time starter back in 2018. The fifth year of Decker's contract officially kicks in at the start of the next league year, which will be March of 2020. Also, the Kansas City Chiefs plan to sign running back Jamaal Charles to a one-day contract so that he can end his career in KC. That's according to a report coming from 610 Sports Radio. Charles is the Chiefs' franchise leading rusher with 7,260 yards over 9 years with the club. The Chiefs selected Charles with their third round pick back in 08. Also, when it comes to last night's NBA and NHL playoff action, in the NBA, the Philadelphia 76ers topped the Toronto Raptors 94-89. That series now knotted up at one game apiece. And also knotted up at one game apiece is the Denver Nuggets and Portland Trailblazers series. 121-113, the final of that one, as the Nuggets able to pull out the win there. In the NHL playoffs, just one game, right? Just one game last night. The St. Louis Blues over the Dallas Stars 4-3. St. Louis up 2-1 in that series. And speaking of the NBA playoffs, Chris Paul has been fined. Chris Paul, guard of the Houston Rockets, he has been fined $35,000 for aggressively confronting and recklessly making contact with a game official. The NBA made that announcement yesterday. Paul, who received his second technical foul and was automatically ejected, he brushed referee Josh Tiven while arguing that Warriors guard Klay Thompson committed a loose ball foul against him. The non-call on Thompson was correct, according to the NBA's last two-minute report. Also, check this. It's a pretty funny story here. Baylor, the Baylor women's basketball program, visited President Donald Trump at the White House on Monday following its NCAA tournament title back on April 1st, receiving a now traditional meal before meeting with the President of the United States. The Lady Bears ate Burger King, McDonald's, Wendy's, and Chick-fil-A.
Hell no!
That's the same spread given to Clemson and North Dakota State's national championship football team. Yeah, yesterday marked the program's second visit to the White House this decade, previously meeting with President Obama following a national championship back in 2012. I must say, I'm not a big fast food guy. I've been on this health kick now for a few years, and Burger King, Mickey D's.
Burger King is the worst fast food place. And I'll stand by it.
What is the thing? Connor Mathis, Allegrio, engineers of today's current sports. Burger King, McDonald's. I will say, I do make the trip to Wendy's from time to time, i.e. yesterday, to get a bowl of their chili. I love Wendy's chili. You cannot beat Wendy's chili, all right? And Chick-fil-A is just good, man, from time to time. You're just feeling a good chicken sandwich. So, but Burger King and Mickey D's, and it's the White House. You know, come on now. You would think they would bring in, you know, one of the top chefs here in the world to put together a meal for these national championship teams. But
I eat too much McChickens and grilled chicken snack wraps to be talking any kind of trash on McDonald's, so I have to stay silent on this one.
So you still rock with Mickey D's from time to time, huh, Alex?
Not their burgers, but any like their McChickens and stuff. Like, I'll ride with that.
But the point is, though, this just isn't customary of a White House visit, right? And we're talking about the White House.
It's almost symbolic.
Yeah, it's becoming a tradition. Now, it's quite funny, to be honest with you. I wonder how the athletes feel about it, though. There is a picture, I believe, of the head coach of the Baylor women's basketball team. She's, like, walking around the table. And it's so funny. The way it's packaged, too, they try and make it look fancy. Like, it's all, like, you know, the burgers are nicely wrapped, and they're symmetrical, and they have, like, these heating lamps.
Yeah, the fries were in, like, where, like, the gravy containers were. That's the best
right.
part to me. Some stuff like
fancy.
That.
They're trying to make it look fancy. So the fries the fries look all fancy, and they're heated up as well. But at the end of the day, I mean, it's Mickey D's and Burger King, for goodness sake.
It's hard to be fancy when you have a heating tray and heating lamp over $2 burgers. I mean, come on.
Exactly,
fancy.
Right? But again, there's a photo of, I don't know if you guys have seen the photo of the head coach of the Baylor women's basketball team. She's like going around the table and has like the most disgusted look on her face. It's pretty funny. Check it out if you haven't. All right. And last but certainly not least, I mean, this brother has been on a roll. James Holzhalter, his 18th appearance in his historic run on the game show Jeopardy. It came down to just $18. The Las Vegas bettor survived his biggest sweat on the show to this point when he held off Adam Levin of Ashland, Massachusetts, in a tight match that came down to Final Jeopardy on Monday's episode. Holzhalter, who's 34 years old, he finished with $54,017, just ahead of Levin, who racked up $53,999. Again, an $18 difference. That's the highest non-winning total in show history, according to JeopardyFan.com. That's amazing stuff. James Holzhalter. I saw that Scott Van Pelt of ESPN SportsCenter, he actually interviewed James last night. The run continues. I wish I was that smart. Okay, that does it for your current sports quick hit headliners. Phone lines are open. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Again, you can go to facebook.com/WKAR News and comment below the live stream. And you can tweet the show at WKAR News or tweet me directly at Al Martin WKAR. Folks, happy Tuesday to you all. Must admit, man, I've been losing some sleep. I was just telling Connor I'm a bit tired today because I'm naturally a night owl, but I'm really a night owl during this time of the year because of the NBA playoffs. You guys know I am a huge NBA fan, and the games of importance are underway. It's the playoffs. Win or go home. Not a one-game elimination, right? I mean, I'm just saying, you know, win the series or go home. And, you know, I spent last night in front of my television, amongst other things. I was doing work while watching the NBA playoffs. But, you know, I was, of course, checking out, you know, what happened in the two games last night. We saw Philadelphia even things against Toronto after what happened in game one over the weekend. Kawhi Leonard went off. But the Philadelphia 76ers adjusted the game plan, improved on defense. Also, did you guys hear what Joel Embiid was battling before the game last night? I mean, riveting stuff, folks. Joel Embiid. You know, I think this is something that this is taking out all of us. I don't care who you are. I don't care where you're from. We have all had a battle with this thing. And last night, Joel Embiid was questionable because of a little thing called diarrhea. Yeah, that almost took Embiid out last night. I kid you not. I kid you not. He went to Coach Brown and said, I don't know, Coach. This is pretty bad. It was so bad, he actually had to get IVs. He had to get IVs before the game. He ended up playing. Had a great performance last night in combination with the defense of Ben Simmons on Kawhi Leonard, and then Jimmy Butler went off as well. He was pretty good last night. Pretty good. And now that series is tied. That was a fun game to watch. And then also, you know, as I mentioned in the headliners, we saw the Denver Nuggets beat the Portland Trailblazers 121-113. Stayed up for both of those games. Shout out. Big shout out to former Michigan State guard Gary Harris, who had a Michael Jordan-esque layup that was replayed over and over and over on the broadcast and on social media. I mean, it was sick. His hang time was ridiculous. Jokic found him, you know, going to the baseline, and Gary jumped on one side of the rim, got bumped, barely goes to the other side of the rim due to the bump, somehow, some way, stays in the air, you know, flicks the ball off his right wrist, gives it a ton of English, it hits off the glass and goes in. Nothing but the bottom of the net. Jaw was on the floor. Gary Harris is playing outstanding. So fun to watch. So the Nuggets over the Trailblazers. So that's why I lost some sleep last night. Man, the NBA playoffs, so compelling. And I'll probably be losing more sleep tonight because Game 2 between the Houston Rockets and the Golden State Warriors gets underway. And I see a few questions already coming in. Shout out to Hoop Nation. Hoop Nation is tuned in to WKAR's Current Sports, courtesy of Facebook.com/WKAR News. And Hoop Nation asked the question, do you think the Houston Rockets just need to play basketball and quit crying? Great question, Hoop Nation. I'll address that after our first break, because that is going to be the top of conversation after the first break. I'm going to dive into this whole Houston Rockets and Golden State Warriors officiating controversy. You'll get my thoughts on that, so hang tight. Talk about a tease. But as promised on the Monday edition of WKAR's Current Sports, I want to dive into the Tyreek Hill situation. I have been, you know, itching to get this off my chest since it broke last week. And I must say, it's a bit disturbing. For our listeners out there, this is not going to be a feel-good story whatsoever. Just warning you. And you know, when it comes to Tyreek Hill and what's happening here, and again, I'll comb through the details in just a moment. But it got me reflecting on something that I've had numerous conversations with, you know, people I know. We've had this conversation here on Current Sports multiple times. I've had conversations centered on this topic in barbershops. But, you know, it got me to thinking how, you know, sports really do create heroes, don't they? That's just how it is. Because, you know, sports, when you look at sports over time, you know, that's the way it's always been. Sports create our nation's heroes. Some of our nation's heroes, I should say. You know, they become modern day gladiators that do spectacular things on the court or field that really turn them into legends in our minds. There's a certain mystique that comes with some of our favorite sports legends, like a Michael Jordan, like a Muhammad Ali, like a Jackie Robinson, like a Babe Ruth, like a Ted Williams. You know, we buy the jerseys, we attend and watch the games, and we look in awe of athletes who do extraordinary things that we can really only dream about as mere mortals, right? That's how we compare ourselves to athletes, because we see crazy things, the crazy accomplishments, the crazy plays they pull off on a nightly basis. And sports, you know, it's fascinating because sports take ordinary people with extraordinary athletic talent and abilities, again, transforming them into mythical figures that many of us worship. But when thinking about the Tyreek Hill story and reflecting on athletes here in modern day culture and in the past, you know, what happens when those athletes mess up away from the stage that is athletic competition? What happens? And I'll tell you what happens in my view. When that happens, many people have two responses. You go either way here. One, your heart is completely crushed, and you go into a moment of negativity, if you will. And it's hard not to, because when you see your sports heroes do something that goes against your moral code, it can turn your stomach. The only recollection of this that I can bring up for me in my lifetime was when it happened with Tiger Woods. You know, growing up watching Tiger, you know, myself, like many of you out there, especially in the black community, you know, Tiger was the reason why I picked up a golf club. And then Thanksgiving of 2008 happened. Now, I was, what, 17, 18 when that went down? And my perception of Tiger went from this, oh, my goodness, greatest golfer of all time, one of the biggest, if not biggest, athlete in the world, always done it the right way, to what in the world? I couldn't look at Tiger the same. I struggled with that. It happens, folks. And it was like a slap in the face. And it was a reminder that these athletes that we worship, they're just like you and me. They are human. Sure, we put them like on this pedestal, right? Because we're watching them day in and day out, game in and game out, doing these extraordinary things. And they become, you know, these mythical figures. But time and time again, we get sobering reminders that they are human, just like you and me. So you have, you know, this one response where you become uber negative and it rocks your world and you're crushed, your heart's broken. Or, and I think these people definitely need a reality check. Or when it happens to that individual, and again, it varies instance to instance. I'm talking about when they go against something in which it breaks the moral code, your moral code, or the moral code of today's society, where basically you know that what you did was completely wrong. You go the other way, and you defend that athlete no matter what. That athlete is still, in your eyes, the best. That athlete is still your hero, and that athlete can still do no wrong. You got to start holding these athletes accountable if you have taken that point of view. To Tyreek Hill. Tyreek Hill, again, a dynamic player in the NFL today. You know, Tyreek Hill is a special dude. Watching him on the football field, it's fun. It's really fun. You know, he's from Florida. You know, he went to West Alabama. He was taken as the fifth pick of the 2016 NFL draft. Three-time Pro Bowl selection, two-time first-team All-Pro. He's amazing. He is an amazing player to watch. You know, he's a hybrid guy. You can put him as receiver or running back. He's fun. Fun to watch. But a story broke last week. An audio, courtesy of KCTV, was put out to the public that, and again, I got to say this as well. You know, when this story broke last week, this is not the first time that Kansas City Chiefs star Tyreek Hill has been involved in some kind of legal issue. I'll get to that in just a moment. But what I want to do right now, we do have this audio ready. Audio came out courtesy of KCTV that paints a pretty disturbing picture of Tyreek Hill. Tyreek Hill's fiance suggests that Hill broke their three-year-old son, broke his arm. And I don't know. And if I had to guess why Hill's fiance decided to record this disturbing conversation, well, I'm pretty sure it has something to do with the previous run-in with the law that Tyreek Hill had, which I'll bring up in just a moment. But this is the audio, again, courtesy of KCTV, a conversation between Tyreek Hill and his fiance about the disciplinary actions of Hill and toward his three-year-old son, who, again, has a broken arm, and Hill's fiance suggesting that Hill is the one who broke that arm. Just listen to the audio.
He is terrified of you, and you say that he respects you, but it's not respect. Me. It's terrified. He is terrified of you.
You need to be terrified of me, too. Don't. That's why you can't.
We were getting into it, and he said, Daddy, you're mean. So we walked up the stairs.
Right?
You
and
said,
say, come
back down here.
Right.
And he didn't want to go down there, but right. I was like, go down there
right.
because it'll end up worse for you.
Right.
So he walked down there, and then you were getting on his about.
And then you said something, right?
No, you kept getting on, and then he started crying. And then you were like, shut up, stop crying.
Right.
Stop crying.
Right.
And then he kept crying because he was scared. He's terrified. And what, you grabbed onto him somehow, or he fell, one of the two.
I didn't do nothing. That's sad, bro. That is really sad.
Then why does say daddy did it? Why? Why does say daddy did it?
I don't know. He says daddy does a lot of things.
Like what? A three-year-old's not going to lie about what happened to his arm. And now somehow this investigation got brought back up, and you're about to lose your. So now I really want you to sit and think about it, because I rode for you against that detective and the CPS people, and they said time and time again that literally kept saying daddy punches him, which you do when he starts crying. What do? You make him open up his arms and you punch him in the chest. And then if he gets in trouble, you get the belt out and you
okay,
do.
Okay, so what about you? What you don't do, you also, I'm just going to take
no,
it.
No, I told you don't I told him either. That he gets whooped. I told him that he gets whooped, but I don't use a belt, which is totally
you
different.
You do use a belt, and that's sad. Even my mama said you use a belt.
When have I used a belt? When have you seen me use a belt with when have I used a belt?
So again, that audio coming courtesy of KCTV. You heard the interaction between Tyreek Hill and his fiance concerning the broken arm of their 3-year-old son. Now, on the tape, as you heard, Hill denies abusing his son. So, again, I have to use the word allegedly when discussing this situation, but I don't have to use the word allegedly when bringing up what happened on December 12th of 2014, in which Hill was arrested on complaints of assault of his then 20-year-old pregnant girlfriend. Her name is Crystal Espinal. That's the voice that you heard in the video of his now fiance, Crystal Espinal. The police report stated that Espinal said that the two got into an argument, then he threw her around like a rag doll, punched her in the face, sat on her, and repeatedly punched her in the stomach. Again, she's pregnant. And choked her. Oklahoma State dismissed him from the football team after the charges. He eventually, and this is why I don't have to use allegedly here, he eventually pleaded guilty to domestic assault and battery by strangulation, and was sentenced to 3 years of probation, an anger management course, a year-long batterer's program, and was also required to undergo a domestic abuse evaluation, a sentence that Espinal was consulted about and comfortable with. And then Espinal eventually gave birth to a baby boy, that boy now 3. And Espinal, again, is allegedly saying that Tyreek Hill broke his arm. Very troubling stuff. And again, just another reminder why, even though I know it's the nature of sports, right? You watch these athletes, again, game in and game out, doing some pretty remarkable stuff. But you got to remember that these players, these athletes are human. And when things like this occur, and specifically, and I'm talking to parents out there of youth, of kids who look at these athletes as heroes, when things like this occur, you got to have that conversation with them. And you got to put in perspective that they are human. And that an incident like this, again, allegedly this happened, but you got to put in perspective how athletes are human and things happen like this, and that your heroes are going to let you down sometimes. And the response from the NFL, in my opinion, you know, Tyreek Hill shouldn't play another down in the National Football League. If it is found true. If it is found that Tyreek Hill did in fact abuse his 3-year-old son, resulting in a broken arm, and you take into account that this is a brother who has also pleaded guilty to another incident of domestic assault on his then 20-year-old pregnant girlfriend, you can't allow that player, that employee of your organization, to continue to be employed under your umbrella. It will be gross negligence, and the message it would send would be a very troubling and dark one. If I do that at my job, or if you do that on your respective job, guess what? You're not employed anymore. You are fired. Period. Even though, and I've made this statement many times here on Current Sports, you know, does your talent outweigh the distraction? We've seen that case with many athletes in the National Football League, the NBA, so on and so forth. Athletes that do stupid stuff, break the law away from the field of competition, but we see a team out there that's desperate for that talent because that athlete is uber talented. They're willing to put up with the backlash that they would get due to signing that athlete, because that athlete can help them win basketball games, and in turn put money in their respective pockets. The line has to be drawn at some point. And if Tyreek Hill is found guilty here, there's an investigation underway here. Because at first, you know, the charges were dropped because, according to law enforcement, there wasn't enough evidence to pin it on either Crystal Espinal or Tyreek Hill when it comes to the alleged abuse of their three-year-old son. And who I feel incredibly horrible for right now is, of course, Espinal and Hill's son, 3 years old. 3 years old. The parents out there listening, I'm sure this story is sparking up a lot of emotions. A lot of emotions right now. Tyreek Hill needs to be banned from the NFL. And the NFL can send, Roger Goodell and the NFL could send a very big message here if they do in fact do that. It's what's right. And at the end of the day, doing what's right must trump wins and losses. I want to know your thoughts on this story. And also apologies to those who are were watching via social media. I don't know what's going on with our connection right now. I've tried twice to get us back on the air at facebook.com/WKAR News. That's technology. But again, those who are tuned in right now, at WKAR AM 870 105.1 FM. Thank you. I want to hear from you. 517-355-WKAR is the number to call. 517-355-9527. What do you think should happen to Tyreek Hill? And also, I just want to leave you with this thought while you guys are calling in and weighing in on this story. The Kansas City Chiefs are also the team that drafted Kareem Hunt, who is now with the Cleveland Browns. Kareem Hunt, running back of the Browns now, but he was taken back in 2017, round three, 86th pick of the 2017 draft. Became a stud for the Chiefs, but also got into some legal issues. If you remember back in November of last year, TMZ released a video showing Hunt involved in an altercation with, you got it, a member of the opposite sex, a woman, in a hotel from the previous February. Later that same day, Hunt was placed on the commissioner's exempt list, prohibiting him from practicing and playing with the team. Shortly after being placed on that list, the Chiefs released him. But, again, Kareem Hunt was eventually picked up by the Cleveland Browns because the Browns decided to look past that incident, give him a second chance, and sign him on their respective football team. I'll get thoughts from Alec Rio and Connor Mathis on the other side of this first break. Again, you can weigh in 517-355-WKAR. Go to facebook.com/WKAR News. You can comment somewhere on the page if it's not on the live stream because of technical difficulties. And you can tweet us. Tweet me directly at Al Martin, WKAR, or tweet the show at WKAR News. All right, welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. I want to invite right now to this conversation before I pivot to the Houston Rockets and Golden State Warriors series. Connor, Alec, you heard my thoughts before we hit that first break. That audio is quite disturbing. It really is, because we're talking about a three-year-old who had his arm broken, allegedly, by Tyreek Hill, who pleaded guilty. I brought up the incident that occurred while he was in college, December of 2014. Pleaded guilty to domestic assault and battery by strangulation.
It's the same woman, too.
Same woman. It was his girlfriend then, who was pregnant, by the way, at the time of the incident.
With the son.
Who is not with the son. With the son, who's 3 years old now. And, you know, again, he's 3 years old now, and now Crystal Espinal is her name. That's his fiance. And again, if I had to guess why this audio was recorded in the first place, I'm getting that question right now. It is because of what happened when they were in college. She's on alert right now. And Tyreek Hill, he's got some issues. And I think that he not only needs to be banned from the NFL, but I'm all about, you know, getting his brother some help as well. He is clearly troubled. He's got some issues. He needs to see a therapist, a psychologist, whatever it takes to sort out whatever demons are causing him to be placed in situations like this far too often. What do you think should happen, Connor, and what is your reaction to the audio in this story, period?
Well, the audio is awful, for one. You know, the thing is, in a perfect world, he'd be banned from the NFL. I don't think it's going to happen, though. I'll be completely honest with you. Just looking back at the history of just several cases here. So before the new domestic violence policy was put in place by the NFL, Big Ben, alleged sexual assault, suspended 6 games, reduced to 4 games. The infamous Ray Rice, which reformed the domestic violence policy of the NFL, suspended 2 games initially, then indefinitely by the NFL, but reinstated, never played football again because, again, he was aging and he had the black eye. AP's child abuse issue was on the commissioner exempt list, which is basically the NFL equivalent of purgatory, where you can do everything but football for your respective team. And then he was suspended 14 games. Greg Hardy, a 10-game suspension that was then reduced to 4 games upon appeal. Ezekiel Elliott for alleged domestic violence, a 6-game suspension. Kareem Hunt, commissioner exempt list, then cut and then 8-game suspension this year. Reuben Foster, accused twice of domestic violence, no suspension. Probably the most talented one, Josh Brown, suspended 1 game for domestic violence. And then, after he was cut by the Giants, was suspended for 6 games as a free agent. So the NFL is inconsistent when it comes to this topic. That's the first point I want to make.
But I'll say this, Connor, real quick, not to cut you off. What I think makes the Tyreek Hill story so different is that, one, you're dealing with a child. He's 3 years old, for goodness sake. Those previous incidences have never dealt with a 3-year-old child who's dealing with a broken arm.
Well, AP's kid was a toddler.
And we had a debate here on Current Sports when that happened. Yep. I didn't think the AP's I thought the AP situation got totally blown out of proportion. I was a kid who was whipped and you know, had a belt to my behind when I was little. That's a whole other thing. You know, we're not talking about a broken arm or something didn't happen in that incident.
I got your point.
And number two, the evidence of either video or audio. That's what made we all remember what happened with Ray Rice, right? We read about it. We're like, oh, okay, that's, you know.
And then you saw it,
and then you saw the visual of him punching his then fiance and dragging her out of the elevator.
Mm-hmm.
When you see the visual, it's one thing to read it, but then when you see that, it burns into your mind. And then when you listen to the audio, especially the beginning portion of that audio, where Tyreek Hill is talking with his fiance, and she says, he's afraid of you. And he says, well, yeah, you should be afraid of me too. Bleep. I mean, come on.
Yeah.
You know, I have to use the word allegedly in this story because that's what we have to do here. He hasn't been found guilty of anything when it comes to this story just yet. But my gosh, that's in your face, you know?
Yeah. I think that there's two scenarios of how this breaks down. There's rumor mill churning up that he's going to be put on the commissioner exempt list. The Kansas City Chiefs have already kind of pushed him to the side and said, look, you're on indefinite leave till we can figure this out. But I think he's heading for that NFL purgatory of commissioner exempt while this legal process pays out. If he is charged, convicted, I think he's done. He's flat out done. Mm-hmm. However, if for whatever reason he is charged and not convicted or not charged at all again, I think the NFL goes back to their suspension policy because that's what they've done. The NFL hasn't cared about convictions so much as the image of, oh, oh, you've been charged or whatever. But if he does, if there is not that legal documentation present saying that you there, we are, we believe that you're do that you did this, or we know you did this, you've been convicted. The NFL, I think he's such a talent. The NFL will look the other way, and he'll be an outcry again. The NFL will probably then reform their domestic violence policy, which is already loosely enforced. The actual policy itself.
Hey, can you read that policy? I know you dropped that in.
Yeah.
Our,
so. The policy itself, depending on the nature of the violation of a person's record, discipline may be a fine, suspension, community service, or combination of the three. Violations involving assault, battery, domestic violence, or sexual assault will result in a baseline six-game suspension without pay, more if aggravating factors are present, such as use of a weapon or a crime against a child. A second offense will result in banishment from the NFL.
And the sixth game came into account after the Ray Rice.
Because before that, it was all commissioner discretion. So you would have cases of like the Ben Roethlisberger alleged sexual assault where it was six games, and then the commissioner reduced it to four. Or another example is Pac-Man Jones when he committed an assault, and it was a four game. And then other times, if he had committed again, it would be an eight game. It was off to the commissioner. Then with the Ray Rice situation, they standardized it to six game base first time, and you have to apply for reinstatement, which is a little bit different from a regular suspension where it just kind of is, you know, poof, done.
Exactly. And again, according to the policy. With more if aggravating factors are present, such as against a child. That's also in there as well.
Or a weapon. But if we look at all the cases, post-Ray Rice, the Greg Hardys, the Kareem Hunts, the Reuben Fosters, the Josh Browns, there's been no consistency. There's only been one time where we've got the six-game base, and that was Ezekiel Elliott, and that was his alleged domestic violence, as opposed to Greg Hardy, who was initially convicted, and then it was overturned on appeal.
Right.
Because of circumstances that are complicated to get into in an hour-long show. But anyway, the point I'm trying to make is that unless he is convicted, I don't see him getting banned, because his first offense came when he was in college and not the NFL, and quote-unquote, not the NFL's responsibility. Even if he's charged... And it doesn't result in a conviction. I don't see the NFL banning him outright. I see a suspension. I see probably maybe even a 10-game, a season-long suspension. But unless he is convicted of the alleged crime, I don't see the NFL doing it, as wrong as that is.
Alec, again, this story is one with a lot of layers to it. Your reaction to the audio, and what say you about both of our takes, Connor and myself, when it comes to what should happen to Tyreek Hill. Because I think that this is going to lead, even if, I think the audio for me is just so damning that you can't ignore it. And I think he just lost his employment in the National Football League. But Connor says if he is not convicted, if he's not charged with anything, well, even if he's charged but not convicted of anything, they'll adhere to the policy, and he will still be employed in the National Football League. What do you think will happen, and what's your reaction to that audio?
Okay, so I agree with Connor. So I feel like if it is proven in court that he has done this, then I agree that he should be completely gone. But unless they have the official documentation in the court, then nothing will be done. He'll still be employed. But my initial reaction to the audio, it's disgusting. It's disgusting. In terms of being a parent, and like, I mean, I'm not a parent, so I don't know this, but I really don't believe that you should include fear in terms of how you raise your child and how you think that it'll make them grow up to be a good person. Because I've seen way too many times on social media where people will say things like, oh, well, my parents did this to me, I turned out fine. So, and those kind of people are exactly the kind of people who do that onto their kid. And when you see the whole situation with Tyreek Hill, like, it very well could have been his parents did that onto him, and he's growing up going through middle school football and then high school football. Maybe his coaches were doing that kind of stuff to him, and in terms, it led to a success. So he might think that, you know, in doing this, it might lead their kid to success, but in all reality, it just makes the person fear them, and fear is not the right way to go. And it's, to me, if he did this stuff, like in actuality he did break his kid's arm, then I don't think he should play another down in the NFL ever again. And I don't think that this kind of mindset, they have to instill fear into the minds of like people that maybe are under you. It's just not something that you can still be doing in 2019. Like, we've progressed way further than that. And I think that there are many other ways you can discipline your child without having to break their arm. Like, that's just madness to me, you know?
I agree. I'm with you, dude. And And this is the thing that gets me. The fact that Kareem Hunt is a repeat, if he's found...
Tyreek.
Yeah, thank you. I keep getting... I'm drawing parallels here because, you know, Kareem Hunt and Tyreek Hill, they're playing for the same team, and they both have been involved in something just horrid, right? But when it comes to Tyreek Hill, the fact that he is a repeat offender, if he is found guilty in this instance... How can you keep this dude on again and employed in the National Football League? So bottom line, and I see what you guys are saying. The caution that you guys have is that Roger Goodell in the NFL has shown a very long leash for those who have not been found guilty, but whose names have been involved in situations that are troubling. I'm just hoping this dude really sits down and the NFL really sits down, listens to this audio, and does the right thing. We'll see, though. All right, let's hear our final break. When we come back, boy, again, that's what happens when you have a topic like this, right? When we come back, we'll put a bow on today's current sports. I'll briefly touch on some NBA, and we'll get to a few of your comments as well. We'll be right back. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. This has really turned out to be a one-topic special here on this Tuesday edition of the show. On this, final day? Wow, I can't believe it's the final day in April. Can you believe that? April 30th, May 1st is tomorrow. We have been discussing the Tyreek Hill story and the alleged domestic abuse of his 3-year-old son and the audio that was released from KCTV that shows a very disturbing conversation between Hill's fiance and himself as they discuss the injury, the broken arm of their 3-year-old son. And you know, interesting, when it comes to the Kansas City Chiefs, I saw this statistic by the newspressnow.com. This statistic coming from USA Today, quoted in their piece, USA Today compiled a list of NFL player arrests since 2000. It goes on to read, quote, though this doesn't include criminal acts committed in college before joining the NFL, the list does include arrests that did not result in prosecution. Hill was not on the list. But the newspaper found the Chiefs accounted for 32 of the 932 arrests made in a single year. That is mind-boggling. That's unreal. 32 of 932 in a single city. That's crazy stuff. But there is definitely a problem in the National Football League right now. And, again, parents out there, I think, you know, because I want to talk to the parents because of the youth today that look up to, and not just of today. I mean, heck, when I was growing up, when you were growing up, you know, we always had athletes that we idolized. And when that athlete did something that went against the grain of your moral code or moral code period, it really changes your perception of how you view athletes as heroes. And I think... You know, I'm sure there are some young sports fans out there who are fans of Tyreek Hill who are looking at this story and are confused. And we just really have to put in perspective how athletes, although we admire what they do on the field and on the court, they are at the end of the day human, and they have human flaws just like you and I. Okay, 3 minutes left here in the hour. I just want to touch on... Before we say goodbye to you all, what happened on Sunday between the Houston Rockets and Golden State Warriors? And I echo my sentiments from what I noted on Monday's Current Sports. That was an absolute crime. Look, you guys know I am the last person on earth to blame the outcome of a sporting event on the referees. But when you look at Sunday's game, and I counted seven times in which the officials of that game did not blow the whistle after Golden State Warrior defenders didn't allow Houston Rockets players like James Harden, like Chris Paul, to land after a three-point attempt, folks, that's consistently been called a foul throughout this NBA year. Why did the referees decide to swallow the whistle then? I don't know. I don't understand. And I think the outrage from the Houston Rockets is justified. You've heard from, you know, James Harden. You've heard from the coaching staff of the Houston Rockets. You actually even heard from the general manager of the Houston Rockets. That's how bad and egregious that moment was. So I hope we see a change come tonight, game two. And I think, you know, Connor, I think that this talk, I think that the Warriors take game two tonight. You know why? Because the Warriors are annoyed with all the conversation. And when it's like, don't poke the bear too much, right? The Warriors are clearly the best team in the NBA. They hear the chatter. They want to put to bed how the perception is even floating out there that the referees are the reason why they won that game one. I think we see the Warriors win tonight.
I don't know. I think Rockets take it back, but I'll say what I've always said. Officiating is the only job in sports where you can mess up consistently and still be there. There needs to be some sort of reform or either
some punishment.
A punishment or a critique or just something other than saying, then the league saying, yeah, we messed up.
And here's a two-minute report to show you how we messed up and where. Come on, dude. All right. We'll see you Wednesday, folks. Have a great Tuesday afternoon. Stay warm and dry. And be easy, people.